1 Corinthians 16. We're going to read one verse. 1 Corinthians 16. Verse 9. If we could, like we do in Brazil, if we could stand for the reading of God's word. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9. And it reads, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." Once again, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." Father, please bless our time together. Look into your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. As I was studying this passage yesterday, reading this passage, it caught my attention what Paul wrote here to the Corinthians. He was in Ephesus at this point, writing to the church in Corinth. And he says that he wanted to go visit the church in Corinth, but right then he could not go because he was in Ephesus. And he says that a great door and effectual was opened unto him. He had a great opportunity. A great door was opened unto him there in Ephesus. And he says, "And there are many adversaries." And that caught my attention. A door is opened, but go to Acts 19, because here we see what happened there in Ephesus. What was the opportunity, and what were the adversaries that he was talking about? Acts chapter 19. In this church, there was a great freedom. But when he got to the city, here in Acts 19, first of all, we see that the soil was prepared. It starts out in verse 1 saying, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism." Remember, John the Baptist came before the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to prepare the way of the Lord. Here, they had heard of John's baptism, the baptism to repentance. The way had been prepared. When he got to this place, the soil had been toiled. They're ready for the seed. And so we see the ground is ready to receive. And here's what he gave to them. In verse 4, "Then said Paul, John verily baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." These people had the right message at the wrong time, and here Paul came then with the right message at the right time, that Jesus Christ was that one who should come, that he had been crucified, buried, and that he was risen again, and he preached unto them the gospel, that Jesus Christ came, he died, was buried, and he rose again. And these people believed. And it says in verse 5, "And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied." Here, they heard, they were baptized. All this that happened, the signs, was to prove that the Lord Jesus Christ was written, was to fulfill the words of God. And so we see in verse 6 that the Spirit came upon them and had great freedom. Later on in the passage, we see that Paul did many miracles there. The Lord wrought many miracles through Paul, even so much that they would bring cloths like handkerchiefs to Paul and touch them on him and take them back to the sick, and the sick were healed. The Spirit had great freedom in this city. In other cities, the Spirit did not have this freedom. But here, the Spirit did have freedom. It was a great door that was opened. People were being saved. But yet, there was opposition. Look at verse 9. "But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus." he ran into opposition. There were people who were hardened. He preached in the synagogues, disputing that Jesus was the Christ, but they were hardened, and they did not believe on Jesus Christ as their Savior. Not only did they not believe, but then they began speaking evil of that way. You know, sometimes we don't witness because we think in our hearts, well, that person won't believe anyways. And worse than that, well, they might speak bad about me. They might not like what I'm doing and might start bad-mouthing me. And so we stop right then. Paul didn't. He continued. He faced opposition. Yes, they were hardened. They didn't hear him. And yes, they started bad-mouthing him, speaking evil of that way. But he didn't stop. You know, this is a lesson for me. Sometimes I get discouraged, thinking they're not going to believe, they're going to bad-mouth me. But I'm glad Paul didn't. And we see why. He departed from that synagogue where they didn't want to hear, and he went to a school. And he disputed daily in the school of one Tyrannus, in verse 10. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. After that opposition, where people were hardened, they started bad-mouthing, he continued. And through that, he started preaching daily, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus, and it says that all Asia heard the word of God. What if he had stopped? All Asia wouldn't have heard. But he saw the opportunity. The door was open. The soil had been prepared. And he kept on. Even though he faced opposition, he didn't stop. He continued through that opposition. And all of Asia, as a result, heard the word of God. We also see that there were imitators. If you go down to verse 13, it says, then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. Now he has people imitating him. They weren't preaching the Jesus that he preached. They were saying, we adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul preacheth. They were imitators. You know, it's not just because there's a church on a corner that it's preaching the gospel. I showed you Sandra. She was in a church like that for 2 years. Attending, going to church, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Even asked her to preach. She got there Sunday morning. She looked at the schedule of who was going to preach, and her name was there Sunday evening. Said she read through Psalm 23, and some people said it was a blessing, but she wasn't even saved. When she came to our church, she knew she was not saved, and my wife's the one who dealt with her. And she heard the gospel, and she knew what she had to be done. And Wednesday evening, she accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior. But she was going to a church, but it wasn't preaching the gospel. It's not just because the church in the corner that it's preaching the gospel. There's a lot of imitators out there. And here these people were imitating. But that didn't stop Paul. He kept on preaching. And it's neat what happens, because the devil himself got after these people. As it continues on in verse 14, and there were 7 sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirits answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Who are ye? And the men in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, and overcame them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house, naked and wounded. This is neat. Devil himself went after those imitators and took care of them. And Paul continued to preach. And we see that in verse 20, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. The word of God grew and the word of God prevailed. Praise the Lord. All because Paul didn't stop at opposition. He saw that great and effectual door open. He went through it. And though he had opposition, he did not stop. He kept on going. Paul was sensitive to the will of the Lord. We see that back in 1 Corinthians 16. We see that he was sensitive to the will of the Lord. We see in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, when Paul wrote that, he said, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He was in tune with the Lord. He seeked to walk in the Spirit. He was sensitive to what the Lord wanted him to do in presenting his body to the Lord as a living sacrifice. He was sensitive in seeking the Lord's will in prayer, and God would show him his will. Through the Word of God, God showed us his will as we let the Word of God transform our mind. Through counsel, through prayer, the Lord can lead us. You know, I thought I was going to go to Cambodia as a missionary. That's how the Lord used to get me to surrender, because I didn't want to be a missionary. I was saved when I was 5 years old. When I was 9, I felt the Lord wanted me in the ministry somehow. As a 9-year-old kid, I didn't know exactly how. I thought maybe to be a deacon. So I surrendered, but I didn't know. But when I was 14, I saw something that really touched me. I saw on television a ritual where this Buddhist monk and his assistant would cut their tongues off and lick these pieces of paper with Chinese writing on it and give them to the people to scare away the evil spirits. And that really made an impression on me, because I thought, you know, if I lose a tooth, I'll get one back. But I cut a tongue off, it'll never come back. And I saw that monk and his assistant do that for a false god. As a 14-year-old, I thought, what am I willing to give up for my God? They give up their tongue, something they'll never again be able to have, never again be able to talk right. I thought, what am I willing to give up? But I didn't surrender right then. It wasn't 4 years later, when I was in college, that the Lord had been working my mind. After I began reading the Word of God, meditating, began studying the Word, let the Word transform my mind, seeking the Lord, that He worked in my heart. And I knew down in my heart the Lord wanted me to be a missionary. And I finally surrendered. I mean, I went to chapel one Monday morning, and the preacher talked about doing the will of the Lord. I went back and I said, Lord, whatever you want me to do. And the next day he preached on Balaam, the prophet Balaam, who was insane for not doing the will of God. So I went back and said, Lord, if you want me to be a missionary, I surrender to be a missionary. I thought I was going to go to Cambodia. When I got to Brazil, though, it was just a glove fit. Everything that I'd been trained to do was just a glove fit. And I went for a 1-year internship with my parents, but at the end of that 1 year, I had to make a decision if I was going to stay in Brazil or go to Cambodia. I stayed an entire month praying with my parents, then went talking to a pastor there in Brazil. And he said, Harold, no, don't be afraid of what men are going to think, because I was afraid. Well, I said I was going to go to Cambodia, now stay in Brazil. He said, don't be afraid of what men are going to think. He said, deep down inside, you know what God wants you to do. When he said that, I knew it should stay in Brazil. And I've since learned that a burden is different from a call. I have a burden for Cambodia. My call is to serve the Lord and serve Him there in Brazil. And praise the Lord, that's where I met my wife. That's where we got married 2.5 years ago. But I wanted to do the will of God. And as I sought Him, He showed me. And it's so neat, because Psalm says, delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of thine heart. Not only will He give those things that you desire, but He also placed desires in your heart. You know, I didn't want to be a pastor when I was a teenager. In school, I was ashamed to say that my dad was a preacher. I would not tell anybody, none of my friends, my dad was a preacher, because that wasn't cool. But as I began delighting myself in the Lord, He went changing my heart, and He placed in me a desire to serve our Lord. And today I'm a pastor, which when I was a teenager, I was ashamed to tell anybody that my dad was a pastor. But the Lord went working my heart and giving me the desires of my heart. And I have no greater desire than to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. He went changing my heart. And here we see, going back to our passage, that Paul was sensitive to the Lord's will. He wanted to leave at the end of all this. He wanted to leave Ephesus to continue preaching. Then there was a great uproar in the city of Ephesus. The people, the goldsmen who made these idols, rose up against Paul and went into the temple of the great goddess Diana and began making an uproar. Then after that uproar, Paul finally moved on. But not after he had done a great work there in that city. He saw the opportunity. He went through it, even though he had opposition of people that were hardened, people that were talking bad against him. That didn't stop him. He continued going. you know, sometimes we don't continue doing God's will or refuse to do God's will, afraid of what men are going to say about us. But tonight is a great night. Tonight's a great opportunity. If you have not made a decision to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, tonight is a great night. This is an opportunity. Paul didn't stop it when people were talking bad against him. Just because people want to talk bad about you, don't let that stop you. In Ecclesiastes, we see something very interesting. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. Ecclesiastes, right after Proverbs. Ecclesiastes 9:11. It says, Ecclesiastes 9:11, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. It says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift. It's not just because somebody's a fast runner that he is going to win the race. It's not, and it says, nor the battle to the strong. It's not because you're a Goliath that you're going to win over David. David beat Goliath. David was trusting the Lord. Goliath that day had a great fall. And it says, nor yet bread to the wise. There are people who are wise, but are too wise. And they're not rich. It says, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill. But it says, but time and chance happeneth to them all. There are two things that all of us have. One of them is time. We all have 24 hours in a day. We all have the same amount of time. What we do with our time is different. Depends on us. But it says time and chance, or time and opportunity. We all have opportunity. Opportunity knocks at everybody's door. The question is, are you ready when it knocks? Do you want to go through it? Are you willing to face opposition to go through that door or not? Just because it's a great opportunity does not mean it's not going to have opposition. Sometimes in our minds think, well, a great opportunity has got to be perfect. I mean, it can't have any opposition. Then I know it's a great opportunity. Well, Paul saw this great door of opportunity open unto him. And he went through it even though there was opposition. But that opposition didn't stop him, because he was sensitive to the Lord's will, and he saw that that was a great and effectual door that was open unto him. And though he faced opposition, he kept on going. Opportunity may be knocking at your door tonight. It might be something that the Lord wants you to do, and you know in your heart that you should do it. But yet you see the opposition, and you stop at the door and don't go through it. Perhaps it's getting your relationship right with the Lord. Perhaps you know you're away from the Lord. You know you need to get right with the Lord. You know you need to confess your sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And perhaps you're afraid of what men are going to think. Don't be afraid of what men are going to think. Go through that door. Perhaps the door of service has opened up. Perhaps there's something that the Lord wants you to do. You know you need to go through it. Perhaps that door is wide open, but you're afraid to go through it because there's some opposition. You think, well, if I go through it, I'm going to face this, I'm going to face the other. You know, David didn't stop because of Goliath. In Goliath, he saw the great opportunity. All the men of Israel were afraid to go fight against that giant. But he saw that giant, in that giant, an opportunity to serve the Lord. An opportunity to prove that God, the Lord, is God. The God of Israel is the true and living God. And seeing that giant, seeing that opportunity, he went through and brought a great victory through the Lord, and brought great glory to the Lord till this day. I don't know what doors are knocking at you, your door, But don't let opposition stop. Look unto Jesus. Be sensitive to the Lord's will. But if he says go through, don't be afraid of opposition. Go through. And though you face opposition, keep on walking. I'm so glad when I went to Mrs. Alzita's house and I stopped in front of her house and I asked, what am I doing here? I'm so glad I didn't turn around and go back home. I'm glad I got out of that car. I'm glad I went to her house one more time. If I had stopped then, I'm sure there'd be a church there that wouldn't have been through my help. I'm glad I didn't stop. I'm glad I went in one more time. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. I don't know what opportunity the Lord's opened up to you, but I pray you be sensitive to the Lord and go through. Father, thank you for who you are. Pray for each one that's here tonight, that they'll be sensitive to your will. If there's something somebody's hesitating to do, whether it be just get themselves right with you, or there'll be something that you want them to do, that they won't stop at the door, but will go on through. Even though they face opposition, to keep looking to you, even as David did when he went to face Goliath. Thank you so much for who you are, Father.